Acts chapter 9, verses 22, I'm sorry, verses 20 through 22. I am He. God is not finished with me yet. Have you ever gone somewhere, visit a place, and when you got there, you looked around and you saw the person that was in charge, or the person that was in leadership, and there you are, maybe applying for a job there, or maybe you come to that place because you think it's a respectable place, but the first thing you see is old Pookie and Ray Ray cousin, and your thoughts immediately go to, I know that girl from somewhere. I think she's the girl that used to dance at that club. Never mind what you're doing in the club. You just know she used to work there. Or maybe your thought is not this the person in which someone said ABC about? Or maybe they just don't know that she was addicted to drugs. Or he just got out of jail last week. Sometimes, in fact, what people say about you really is true. It's okay if it's true what they say about you. Because who among us walk through life and never have embarrassing moments? If that's you, I have no need to pray to God anymore. You'll do. If you can walk, make it through life, make no mistakes, never sin, everything is perfect in your life, there's no need for Jesus Christ to die on the cross. So in essence, what I'm saying to you is there is a need for Jesus, but there's no need for you to lie or be in denial this morning. We go through life and we make mistakes. We go through life and sometimes the truth is, they're not mistakes. I planned to do that sin.
That's right.
Took me a long time to do that. Give me credit for it.
All right now.
I want the credit as long as I'm getting away with it, but when it catches up to me, then I want to disown it. Paul said, in essence, I took great pleasure in persecuting Christians. He owned that one. His mindset was most folk in the church is fake. And the moment that a test or a little pressure comes, they'll deny Jesus anyway. All the Sauls are not dead. There's still some people in the world that is testing you to see whether or not you are really dedicated to God. And so they say something to you, and when you curse them out, that's proof that you really are not who you claim to be. Because what's inside of you comes out of you. So when I say to you, I really didn't mean that, or I was just joking. No, I was just testing you to see how you were going to take it, but I really meant what I said. Paul wants to deal with the church. And so in dealing with the church, Paul sets on a path, and he's going to persecute church. And on his way to persecute church, I mean people, he meets Jesus Christ. Isn't it something when you're on your way to sin, on your way to creep, on your way to do something, and you get a word from the Lord, mess up your whole sinful plan? Y'all so say, y'all so say, say, y'all never get in the car driving to do something wrong, and it's a flat tire, and God is saving you from it, and you get mad with God because your $40 tire needs to be replaced, but he's trying to put you in a position to bless you. But God, how can you let that tire go flat? You ought to thank God the tire went flat and the motor stopped and the oil leaked out, because had it not been for God interceding and interjecting in your life, you never know what was up the road. Saul was walking and he was traveling one day, high noon, on the road to Damascus. As he traveled on the road to Damascus, watch this. God knew who Saul was, but Saul didn't know who Paul was. Saul and Paul is the same person. We'll talk about bipolar in a minute. Oh, it's two of you in there. Yeah. Three, four. Split personality. God knew who Saul was. Saul did not know who Paul was. So Saul was on his way to persecute the church. He meets Jesus. When he meets Jesus, God changes him. When God changes him, he gives him a new name, from Saul to Paul. When God changes his name, God then sets him on a different path for him. Notice this. All along, God knew about Saul that that was my chosen vessel. Now, how can God say about Paul that he is a chosen vessel when he's doing every sin in the book? The same way God can say the same thing about you. Because even though you are sinning, it doesn't mean that you are a sinner. Now, let me explain that. Because once you come to church and you give God your life, it doesn't mean you won't sin again. Okay? But what it means is that I don't belong to my sin. I belong to Christ. Though I sin, I'm not a sinner. I sin, but I'm a child of God at the same time. You need to get that. If you get that, you'll understand your struggles as a Christian. If you get that, you'll understand how you can be born, saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, and still struggling with the same things all over again. See, just because you go down in some water doesn't mean that your taste bud.
All right.
If you like your reefer, you're going to like your reefer when you come up. Okay, y'all keep sitting in church like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Like some of y'all don't still smoke dope. Y'all keep sitting in church like some folks in church still don't drink. Y'all keep sitting in church like some folks in church still don't commit adultery. You better say amen to God this morning. It's not about taking pride in your sin. That's not what we're doing. I'm just saying, be real. I'm just saying, just because you say, that doesn't mean that God is finished with you. It means that God is just beginning with you. So when you see my sin, when you see my shortcoming, don't look at me, turn your nose up. God is not finished with me yet. When you hear what I did, a light comes, illumination. The illumination is when God shines upon him. Then God moves from illumination to revelation, drops a word on him and say, why you kick against the prick? In other words, I got a word for you. I got instructions for you. I want you to do something. He moves from illumination to revelation, and then the transformation says, come here, boy. I call you. You're a chosen vessel. I want you to do something for me. And instantly he's changed. But change is a process. Let me talk about the process of change. Let me talk about when you become a child of God. And yeah, you've been changed, but the process is not completed yet. So the things I used to desire, they still there. Don't you judge me, because you still got some of them too. Yeah, I'm in the church. I even got a position of leadership in the church, but God is not finished with me yet. So every now and then, when I bump my toe and you see mine, don't you go back and talk about me, because you still got some stuff hanging in your closet. And had it not been for the grace of God, he would have swung open your door and all your little stuff would have been in the street. Saul is changed to Paul through illumination, revelation, and transformation. God changes him. When God changes him, he begins to pray. God, what do you want me to do? God then tells him, says, listen, I need for you to go into fasting and pray. He goes into fasting and pray. At the same time God is dealing with Saul or Paul, he's also dealing with Ananias. Ananias wakes up. He has a vision. The vision is, you're going to meet a young man by the name of Paul. You want me to go meet Paul? Have you not heard, God, what I heard about Paul? You want me to go to Paul? Come on, God. Come on. Have God ever told you something and you said, wait a minute, God, I don't think that's my word. I think that's Jeff's word right there. Can't be my word. Have God ever spoke something in your spirit and you say, no, that don't even fit where I am? You want me to act like I'm saying, act like I got it all together? You want me to go to somebody and point out their sins, but what about mine? And God is saying, just trust me. God will always move you when he calls you into a point where God begins to deal with you. As God begins to deal with you, the first thing often that God will do is establish you. In other words, he'll grab you, pull you in, and say, you're saved. Don't worry about anything else. You're saved. Now that's what grace does, is save you. Grace establishes you. When someone says, I'm saved, and you ask the question, how do they know? The issue is, because I received Christ and I received his grace. That's it. Don't talk about your righteousness. Don't talk about how good you are. Don't talk about how many people you feed. None of that has anything to do with God giving you salvation. I said giving you salvation, not earning salvation. You can't earn salvation. It is the gift of God. God always establishes you. Once God establishes you, he'll then begin to enlarge you. In other words, he'll connect you with someone who begins to stretch you. You do know iron sharpens iron, right? So God will put you in the life of somebody who can say to you what you really need to hear. I said what you really need to hear. By the way, that's a friend. Someone who can say to you, girl, you know that dress is too short. Girl, you know you don't need to be showing all that cleavage. You know you don't need to be showing that. Or dude, you know you need to handle your business at home and leave that one alone. That's a friend. But we don't want friends. We want cheerleaders in life. Tell me what I want to hear. Stroke me. That's what we want. And so that's the people that we really involve ourselves in. And the true friend that we really need, we disconnect them because we can't take what they're saying to us. A true friend will always tell you what you need to hear so that it is something to enlarge you, better you, and not a fake person who just want to cheer. God begins to enlarge you. He begins to give you word. With word come wisdom. Once God enlarges you, he then begins to expand you. See, there are some people in your life that you need to mature. And once you mature to a certain point, your relationship with that person is not the same anymore. It's not that something is wrong with that person. It's just that I don't need the bottle that I used to need. Now I can eat meat. So instead of me seeking you for advice, now God is using me to give advice. God begins to expand your territory. As God begins to expand your territory, I need for you to understand that that expansion is going to be rough. It's a pulling and a pushing and a throwing. It gets really rough. That's why you, as a child of God, sometimes being a child of God is 42 miles from being comfortable.
Wow. Oh, my Lord.
God, what are you doing to me? It seems like if I'm your child, you'll be looking out for me. He says, I am. I'm trying to enlarge your territory. And so God begins to pull you. And as God begins to pull you, he needs for you to understand that until he stretches you, your faith can never see what it is that he has in store for you. The Bible declares it is impossible to please God without faith. And so he has to expand you. He has to allow you to go through some things and that you're uncomfortable with the things that you're going through. And sometimes the first thing that you encounter when God is expanding your territory is God will take you back to revisit the folk that you used to drink with.
Ah, my Lord.
Come on, James. Last week we got drunk. Now this week you want to tell me about Jesus.
All right, yeah.
But who better?
That's right.
Who better?
That's right.
Than to do it. Because he knows me.
That's right.
So he should know how to minister to me. But we get saved, we come into church and say, I can't deal with them anymore. Baby, that's your ministry. It's to deal with them. I can't deal with them. I don't like them. We don't do the same thing. You're not supposed to do the same thing. You're supposed to go and pull them out. God knows what God is doing. In your life. And so he sends Paul. Paul goes and he meets Ananias. When Paul and Ananias meet, Paul is praying exactly what God told Ananias he would be doing. When he met him, instantly there was a scale that fell from Paul's eye. Don't get that confused. That's not the thorn in Paul's side. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. That's in 2 Corinthians, I'm talking about Acts. Don't jump and start putting stuff together that don't go together. So the Bible says the scale fell from his eyes. In other words, now he can see. I said that to say there's some people in your life, until you show up, they can't see. There's some people that is married to the perfect person, but they can't see it until you come into their life with godly wisdom. There's some people in your life. They are in the right place doing the right thing, but they can't see it because they need for you to speak a word in their life. God knows exactly who to match you with. You may not like the match, but it is well with him. Because he may be too short and she may be too big, but God is saying that's it for you. Now, if God knows where he's taking you to, certainly he knows who needs to walk with you. See, we can look at the outer things and we get confused because beauty is not necessarily on the outside. You got to go a little deep to get true beauty. Because you can look good on the outside. You can be informed and shaped on the outside and a jacked up heart and you're still hungry. You can look good on the outside. You can be what everybody dream of. But if your heart is messed up, if you have no relationship with God, all of that really doesn't matter. One car accident and you paralyzed and now your shape is gone and everything else, what you left with now? Just asking a question. To be beyond what you see.
Yes.
Ananias meets Paul. When he meets him, he then says to him, this is what God called you to do. Paul then starts preaching the gospel. Can you imagine that? 2 weeks ago, he was taking Christians, setting them on fire, using them as lamp poles. Now, he's preaching about this is the very Jesus. This is he. But you didn't believe that 2 weeks ago. But now, here he is preaching about Jesus. See, sometimes in your life, people won't believe that you've been changed. But the proof that you've been changed is that while you sit on the other side and you owe me money and I haven't stepped to you yet, that's proof I've been changed. That lie that you called on me and I didn't beat you down, that's proof that I've been changed. When you talked about me and got me fired and I'm still praying for you, that's proof that I've been changed. I necessarily don't just need to thank God that I've been changed. You better thank God that I've been changed. You better thank you try it again. Because you take my meekness for weakness. But you forgot that I was bipolar. I'm saved, but I'm still dealing with the sin issue. I wish I was talking to somebody who was saved and you still dealing with a sin issue. I wish I was talking to somebody. Oh, you going to heaven? Then the question is, how much pressure will take you to get there? So while I'm saved, I'm dealing with a sin issue. And you catch me one Monday morning and you say the wrong thing to me and I fly up at you. Be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Sin issue. I don't have a problem with the sin issue because I know when it had not been for God, he would not have worked it out. So his grace abounds. See, every time I act up, he says that boy still need grace. See, in the church sometimes, you need to remind folk that you're bipolar. Then they'll understand what type of Christian you are before they act a fool. I'm nice, but don't you take advantage of me. I'll give to you, but don't you take advantage of me. I'll loan you some money, but don't you walk on me without at least saying, I remember. Every now and then, you have to go there with some folk. What I love about Paul is Paul was a man that he was struggling with some stuff. Yes, he was an apostle, he was saved, but every now and then the sin rose up inside of him. Every now and then the flesh inside of you rose up. Every now and then you have to deal with you. I'm talking about the second part of you, the bipolar side of you, the crazy side of you, the side of you that is in the church but refuse to let folk walk over you. I just want to talk to that man. The same man is already saved. Let me minister to the sinful man this morning. Let me say to you that you need God's grace, because every now and then you slip out of character and you start acting like the person you used to act like. But thank God he's not finished. lack in the character, and the sin man comes out. And when the sin man comes out, you need grace to calm him down. Because the truth of the matter is, when the heat is on, I don't always think about turning the other cheek. So because I'm bipolar, that's my excuse, by the way. Got medicine for it. I'm just joking, kids. But because I have jumped out of my salvation or out of my holiness and jumped into the sin for man, I've done some things that I wasn't proud of.
Oh yeah.
What you heard, that's me. Everything that you hear about a person is not a lie. Someone said, where there is smoke, there's fire. What you heard may not be all of the truth, but it probably was a little bit down in there somewhere. Now, I know you're comfortable because I'm saying this about me, but I'm really talking about you. So that what we hear, there may be a little truth in it. And because there's a little truth in it, I don't necessarily need for you to judge me. Remember, I planned to do it. I knew what I was after. But when I did it, understand that by the grace, love, and mercy of God, He gives me a second chance. Me a second chance. So what you heard is true, but God is not finished with me yet. I may have fallen short that time, baby, but the next time you may get me, but you won't get me the same way you got me that time, Satan, because I'm stronger in the Lord. I'm wiser in the Lord. I got more word to stand on. God has given me a revelation, and I'm not going to do same thing that I used to do. So we fall down and we get back up. And every day we work out our own salvation. Be patient. God is not finished with me yet. I still got a few more curse words. Still got a few more lies. I still got a few more sins that I feel I need to deal with. I'm talking about all of us. If one of us was in a place where we didn't have any more of that sin issue, Jesus can come right now, rapture the church, and every one of us is saved. But we're not there yet.
That's right.
To be perfect doesn't mean to be sinless. To be perfect means I'm maturing in Christ. God is not finished with me. I'm maturing. To be sinless means I got it all in wraps. And I got it. What you hear about your brother and sister, why don't you take the time before you step on them? Just try to reach down and pick them up. Just try it. What I've learned in life, never judge a person if you don't know where they started from. See, you acting cute with your college degree. I didn't have that opportunity. My mother was a prostitute, and I feel like that's all I can do. That's the family business. So that's what she goes into, and you judge her. What about giving her a word and show her that there's another way before you judge her? And the person who doesn't decide or make the decisions that you made, how about going back and trying to figure out why they did it, and then you try to be a big brother or a big sister and mature the person before you judge them? Stand with me this morning before we go. I want to talk to that person that is here and people are judging you. And you're trying all you can to hold that bipolar side under control. You can't do it by yourself. Christ to die on the cross for you. For you. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about for you. He sent God for you. And now he says, if you don't know him as your personal savior, he says, don't reject me, because he didn't reject you. He sent God, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Jesus didn't say, he's not worthy. He says the one that appears not to be worthy, that's the one I came for. Simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross. 3 days later, he got up. When he got up, he rose with the power to give you grace and salvation. That's the gospel. All that other stuff, who walked on water and Lazarus come alive. No. The gospel is Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the preaching power. That's the power that we have. That's the salvation. That's the guarantee that we have. Jesus died on the cross and he rose on the third day. That's it. Your salvation is sealed. Does it get any simpler than that? He says, now I'll give you grace. Grace is a gift on Christmas Day when your children run downstairs and they come look under the Christmas tree and there's a gift. They pick up the gift, they open the gift, they do not ask you how much it costs or how much they have to pay you back, because it's a gift. God is saying to you, Jesus died on Christmas, you celebrate his birth. He says the gift is eternal life. It doesn't cost you not one thing. How could you reject something that's free? Would there be others? Not sure about your salvation? Don't have a church home? Maybe you drifted into the world? Would there be others?